Welcome to another installment of Layman's Term Show. Welcome to the podcast. Today, we're going to discuss the challenges of waiting and enduring in our pursuit of God's purpose. We're going to use Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Keith, read it.
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light.
Wow, that was a long one, Keith. But with patience and endurance, we will carry on. And even in tasks we don't like, we can bring ourselves closer to God's joy in the calling on our lives. So let's get into the show. Keith?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome. How are you, Mitch?
I'm doing great. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, well.
Otherwise, it would just be me or just you.
No one.
So
happy to be here. That's what they say.
Talking about patience and endurance, and we hope everybody has patience and endurance and makes it through this entire show.
Oh yeah, entire episode.
But feel free to go ahead and like it right now and make sure you subscribe. Mitch, tell me about a time when you got really, really, really annoyed that you had to wait on something. Tell me about that. How did it make you feel?
Specific example. I am pretty decent with curbing my annoyance on waiting on things. My annoyances really come with, we're talking about strengths here, and my annoyances really come with things being not strategic, right? So it may not be the waiting on something, but just like a incredibly inefficient process really, really gets me wound up.
Okay. Can you give me an example of that?
Here's an example. This just happened. This is an example I just had going on this morning, but this is, as we'd say, like a first world problem, but I have a swimming pool. My swimming pool has a cover on it and the cover is controlled by a motor. Well, this motor is technically just a winch. It's all it is. And power goes in one direction, it turns one direction. You put power in the other direction, it turns the other direction. It could literally be operated by a switch that changes the direction of the power. Instead, in the year 2024, we decide to put a computer on top of it.
Yeah.
To let the computer decide which direction to send the high voltage, so we have low voltage.
Yeah.
Computer.
Instead of like a little toggle.
It's done in the thing. Mm. So the little toggle tells the whole circuit board to make these high voltage decisions, whereas just a lever would make that decision.
Yeah.
Frustrating. Just get real, real annoyed.
Yeah. You probably get annoyed too when like cars now, you can't just replace like one part, you got to like flush the computer again. You got to like reset the computer because you changed the oil
like
or something.
Like when we overcomplicated something. Right. Like my truck has a push button start. Fine. Don't care. But at some point, I'm going to get really, really annoyed whenever it won't start because there's been so many pushes of the button that it's done. Whereas if it was a key and an ignition, that wouldn't happen. Right?
Yeah.
That's going to be, ooh.
And plus, it's a lot more expensive to replace if something does happen with your push to start versus that ignition. You know, if you had to replace that thing,
a mechanical switch,
it's easy. Yeah.
Our overcomplication of things annoys me.
I think I'm in the same boat. My example in my brain was just this weekend we went to Sam's Club, and we got our cart full of stuff. And then there was something that we needed in the lockup, right? Like, and I don't even know why it was locked up. To be honest, like, it wasn't on the shelf.
Oh,
it was like a little electronic thing, you know? Like, you know, like, imagine, like, having Fitbits locked up. Sure, they're small and they're electronics, but they're, like, $30, right? So, like, how many Fitbits are you losing? Put them on the shelf with a little security thing on them or whatever, and that's it. So, I don't know. So we got all our stuff. We go up there. They're not even on the shelf because I saw them in the lockup cage when we were eating our pizza at the food court. And I was like, oh, I didn't know they had those in stock. So let me go and we'll grab one. Not on the shelf. So we're checking out, and I go up to one of the ladies. And I say, hey, I noticed you got this in the lockup. They're not on the shelf. Can I get one? And she's like, yeah, they're locked up. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Can I get one? And she's like, yes, but I have to watch you check out with it.
Okay.
I'm like, all right. And it's $23. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, well, we're checking out over there. Can I get one? And you can come walk with me, and we can get checked out. And she's like, well, I don't have the keys. Okay. So can you get the keys? Like not even like, let me get the keys. I'll go get them, you know, whatever. Just like, I don't have the keys. Okay, can you go get the keys to unlock this, to get me one to walk over to this? Right, okay. So at this point, Shauna's done scanning everything in the cart. We're just waiting on this thing. But the line, it's Saturday at Sam's Club, you know, like there's a guy behind us with a cart full of stuff. And there's a guy behind him with some stuff. And we're just holding the line up. So to harken back to a couple episodes ago, my Midwest Nice, you know, is like, well, just check out for that stuff and we'll check out for this one thing later. Right. Okay. Because yeah. I don't want to inconvenience the people behind us in line
because they're
waiting
getting
on me.
Annoyed.
They're getting annoyed. I don't want them annoyed at me. So Shauna finishes her purchase and we're waiting to the side and they bring this thing to me. So then I get what's funny is Shauna finishes the purchase and then like as soon as she's done and the guy starts like scanning his stuff, the guy behind me, she's there with it. And I'm like, oh my, if I had wait like 10 more seconds, I could. Anyway, so I get behind the next person, like not that same self-checkout, but one on the side that looks like the lady's almost done. Like she's finishing scanning her stuff. Okay. So I'm like, okay, sweet. I'll get back here, you know, whatever. So the lady's holding this electronic item for me, you know, cause she's nervous I'm going to steal it now at this point. And so she's like watching this lady check out, and this is what annoyed me.
We're getting to it.
She then starts, you know, they promote, or I don't want to use the word pimp, but they try to sell their Sam's Club credit card to everybody all the time, or like a plus membership or whatever.
They're
right?
obligated.
They're obligated. Whatever.
To mention it.
It's fine. But so then she does this to this lady. Right. And she's like talking to her for like 10 minutes, trying to convince her to sign up for this credit card, which the lady does. And so I'm standing there like 15 minutes to check out for this one $20 item.
Yeah. Gotta leave that behind.
Yeah. Anyways, it annoyed me. Now, I mean, I got over it. Right. But it's that inefficiency. I think that's what really annoyed me was that, okay, you did this. You're putting me out. Because you don't want it stolen, fine, I get that. But what you should do is one of the other non-self checkout registers that's got just a wide open, they don't have a person to man it, you should be like, let me check you out at this register. Let me get it for you and I'll check you out, which is what they normally do. But instead, this lady is like, I need to watch you check out. And then is doing her own thing. Like, it's just annoying, right?
Yeah, we live in a convenience world, too, that we try to make everything overly convenient, and then sometimes we overdo it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's inefficient to me.
Very.
The self-checkout system is highly inefficient. And I don't know if you knew,
you know,
but a lot of people are...
You know the efficient checkout system? Aldi. Wrap every product in a barcode, just wrap it, just beep, huge, beep, massive beep, beep, everywhere, and then just put, I think everybody who works at Aldi, I think they're Olympic speed skaters that we just don't, you know, they're speed skaters, and they're just really fast.
Yeah, because they're like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Aldi is very efficient.
Smooth and fast.
But even Aldi went to self-checkout in some of the locations.
That's, I'm fine with that, but sometimes I like to pretend.
But you know what you can't do in Aldi's?
I'm a speed skating Aldi checker outer person.
You know what you can't do in an Aldi's checkout is do quantities. So you go in there and you buy like, you buy like a case of green beans, you know, a
yeah.
thing or whatever, and then a case of corn and then a case of beans and then, you know, whatever. Okay. And then you got to check out, you got to scan each jar count? Individually.
Can you count?
I can count.
Okay. Well, just
if I take my shoes off, I can count to 20.
We'll just scan the one can of beans 12 times and put it back on the flat.
I know, but it's slow. The thing is slow versus being able to go quantity 12, beep, and being done. It's like beep, 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 but then it bogs down because it's Aldi. You know, they don't spend a whole lot of money on their computer system being fast, you know.
I beg to differ.
Which is why their stuff is cheap.
I'm going to stand up for Aldi on this one.
Anyway.
I just think you're not a trained Aldi checker, nor am I, but...
I'm not a trained Aldi checker, that's for sure.
But I want to try it out.
A checkout line.
I like trying it out.
And I'm quick. I mean, I'm a quick checker outer. Sam's Club's like, boop, boop, boop. Now, I prefer the scan and go at Sam's Club, right? But, because then I can be Midwest nice, find a little, you know, quiet corner of the store, get my phone out, scan everything, and then just leave. I don't have to feel the pressure of scanning stuff in my cart and somebody waiting in line behind me.
Well, I think what it can all boil down to is on patience and being annoyed, and it all comes down to our lack of control in the situation. I think our annoyance kicks in whenever the control is not in our possession.
I think that could be part of it. I think some of it for me is I get more annoyed when there's something that I want to happen, and I have my own timeline for it to happen, and it doesn't happen within the timeline. I think most of my annoyance is a time frame situation rather than an outcome situation.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't have control. You've taken it as far as you can take it, but now you need someone else.
Or even if I'm trying to do something, it's just taking me longer to get it done. Right, then I get annoyed at myself or the process, right? So like I have full control per se in I think about the time I was replacing the switch in my truck. Well, let the window go down, you know, stop working, right? Go to replace the switch. It's not the switch. It's the motor inside there, right? Okay, so I got to take the, you know, you look some YouTube videos how to take apart mm-hmm, this truck, mm-hmm. You know, okay, sounds good. Take it apart, right? And then, you know, go through the whole process, put the thing in backwards so up is actually down and down is actually up. Then I had to take it all apart again, you know, and I was more annoyed at my performance in it, and it was just taking longer. You know, it was 95 degrees out. I'm sweating at this point. It's like an hour and a half into it, you know. I'm more annoyed that it didn't happen quicker for me than anything else.
So you need the patience part.
The patience, for sure. Yeah, and I think that the annoyance, too, is really something around things we don't like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not like a passion of ours to replace the motor in my truck, right? Like, I know guys that love to work on cars, like love not to be frustrated by it, but will spend hours and hours and mm-hmm. hours to replace this one part because it's a passion of theirs. They don't get annoyed by it. They don't get upset by it. It's really about something that, for me, I don't like to do it. I may be good at it, but I don't like to do it. What's something in your life that you're good at, you can do it successfully, but you don't like doing?
Folding children's laundry. I've outsourced that, to the end user. So that's good. I don't mind washing it.
Mm. Mm,
I like that. I had a garage door break this week. Mm. I'm gonna, you know, turn that over to the professional, you know, that big heavy duty spring thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I hate those things.
Could watch the YouTube video, could do it.
Yeah.
Prefer not to break my arm. I'm going to leave that up to the pros. But sometimes with those things, you know, you come with the time and the inconvenience that may come with the time being not on your timeline, right?
Right.
So then you start thinking, well, maybe I can do it. And you start trying to take back control of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I do that sometimes with stuff on the job. Like, I could really use some professional help from my guy Keith on like
some graphic work or some
design work. But I don't want to bother him. I don't want to inconvenience him. Don't want him to get annoyed with me.
Trying to
be a little Midwest nice.
Self-sufficient.
But I ended up with this inferior product.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, like a little paper sign-up sheet instead of a really nice, you know, QR'd, web-linked solution, I get a paper sign-up sheet.
Yeah.
And then shout out to my Monday Night Football guys out there who spilled cheese on it. Can't spill cheese on somebody's website. So, you know, stuff like that.
That you can do, like, you can do successfully. Kids' laundry is probably a good one.
Oh, mowing the yard. Like, I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
Weed eating. Great. You know, or string trimming,
You have a lot of string trimming experience.
Depending on your, I think that has to do with maybe the density of population, whether you refer to it as string trimming or weed eating.
Okay.
I think getting a little more rural, we name brand Weed Eat.
Weed Eat. That's what I call it.
So, but yeah, really good at that. Just don't love it. Really good at painting. Man, I'm good at painting. Really good at painting.
Like walls and exterior and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not like the beautiful art.
No, not like the beautiful art back there.
Okay.
Stuff, yeah. You know, just, like, you know, you got your house painted, right?
Yeah.
And all the little cracks between the different boards and, you know, you got to caulk that.
You got to caulk it every
time.
Yeah,
I'm so good at that.
You're good at caulking?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not.
I'm good. I'm efficient.
Gloopy mess all the way. At the end of it. I can't find the perfect bead.
Top of a ladder, leaning off to one side, balancing with my toe, holding on to the gutter. Oh, yeah. So
I could
good.
Not do that.
Hate it. Don't like it. I'm just good at it.
Yeah.
It's a curse, really.
I'm with you on mowing the lawn. Mowed the lawn growing up. That was kind of my chore to do around the house, you know, and even started a little summer business, a few summers mowing some lawns in the neighborhood. I think that combined with now our house that we lived in Georgia was great. It was a flat lot. I mean, almost completely flat, super easy to mow, not a lot of trees to trim around or anything like that. Like, I mean, it was just fantastic. Okay. Then the last house we had before this house, the backyard was like probably a 75 degree downward slope. I mean, when I say 75 degree, I'm not exaggerating. When you have to push your mower up the hill to go sideways, you know, 'cause that's just how much force is trying to drag that mower down. And I hated it every minute. So now I never really liked mowing to begin with, but after that house and living there for 3 years and mowing that, I hate it now. I hate it. I'm good at it. I'm really good at it.
Yeah, especially that one.
Yeah.
Like, you're the foremost authority on that yard and how to mow it.
Oh, yeah.
With the equipment you have and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, I mean, I could do perfect lines on that hill. No problem. See, a lot of people would say, why don't you just go up and down? You don't want to do that. You don't want to go up and down. A seasoned pro understands that, one, pushing a mower up a 75-degree angle is the worst thing you can do in your entire life, I think. It's like pushing a boulder up a hill.
Okay.
You know, okay? And then going down, you're going too fast to get a good cut. You know, if you go too fast, you know this. If you're just speeding through your yard, you're gonna leave little sprigs of grass everywhere. You gotta have a constant. You gotta let the blades do its work.
On a
push
mower,
you know what I mean?
Well, did you try a rope? Lower
so
it down.
So this is the other thing.
Pull it
so
back.
So one
up.
Of my neighbors tried, you know, did the rope method. Terrible. Now I'm pulling a mower up.
Yeah, it's good upper body.
Oh, terrible. Anyway, terrible. I got a self-propelled, and I angled it slightly up, and then let that self-propel do its thing while fighting gravity.
All right, so we're talking about our impatience. We're talking about things being out of our control. We're talking about waiting on others, the control being in someone else's hand, right?
Yep.
Like we've gone as far as we can go. We've taken it as far as we can, and now we're waiting. It's almost like the public or the customer service representative.
They've
done everything they can for you. They really have. They've done a great job. You can't really be annoyed with them, but they've taken you as far as they can, and now you're on hold. And you either...
Because they're waiting on someone else.
You either stay on hold,
or you
risk starting this process all
Or you just
over.
Say, forget it. Whatever it is, it's not worth my time.
Not worth the wait, right?
Right.
Well, what if the person you're waiting on... is God to respond in your life? What if you've gone as far as you can go, and maybe you've probably tried to go farther than you should have went?
Yeah.
And you're waiting on, you really need God to show up, and you're in the waiting.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest spot to be.
It is.
What are the challenges you face in that time? I tell you what I face.
Yeah.
It's the, what you just brought up. It's the giving up.
Yeah.
It's the change direction. Right? Instead of sticking to the, plan, staying the course.
You wonder if the plan is flawed.
Yes. You start thinking, yes.
Right.
You start doubting.
You start thinking, well, maybe this isn't the right, this isn't what I should be doing, this isn't what I should be tackling or whatever. And then you're just kind of in that perpetual, yeah, it is, no, it's not, yeah, it is, no, it's not, you know, and then maybe you try something different, you know, and then that obviously doesn't work. And then you probably just dug yourself a bigger hole because you tried something that,
Yeah, I've been bouncing around different ministry capacities and facets for years before I was on staff and leading stuff I was definitely not prepared to do, leading satellite campus of a church, but I would do small-time projects with service-related stuff that I was really cut out for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can fully lead a wheelchair ramp build.
Yeah.
You know, that's my... baseline skill set, leadership. But when you get called into deeper stuff or deeper areas of ministry that are outside my comfort zone, which, you know, wheelchair ramp builds probably outside other people's comfort zones. But that's where it gets, when you lack a lot of those skills needed for success and you're relying on others to make up for your shortcomings of skill sets,
mm-hmm.
that's where that faith really has to kick in.
Yeah, I also think maybe some of that too is your expectations and your internal want for things to work out in a certain way, and they're not, right? So, like, you know, you think of starting a satellite campus, right? You know, what would you have your first service? 50 people?
Where?
At Westside.
At the
school gymnasium. They were like, hey, man, you're in charge. Here's some stuff. Go have a service. How many people showed up?
115.
115. Okay. 6 months in, your internal, you're like, man, in 6 months, we're going to have 500 people here. Right? Like, you know, so like, as you, sometimes your expectation is like, this thing's going to just grow like crazy. Right? And then when it's, you know, 115, maybe 116 the next week, maybe then 100. And then you're kind of like, what's going on? This thing should be, I'm putting all my effort, I'm putting all my time, I'm putting all my dedication into it, feel like we're doing great stuff. And then it's just not going as fast as you want it, right?
Oh, except this example is going way faster than I wanted or expected it to.
I know.
Some slow play would have been nice with some of that. But
I'm saying sometimes that's the case, right?
Our expectations, yes, are especially when we try to put stuff on our timeline, not God's timeline, it's not gonna work out great for us.
But even in your example of how quickly, I mean, you guys went from one service to two services like pretty quick. That can be frustrating too, right? Like that.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of like I didn't expect this. This was not my expectation. You know, like, and then you're struggling because you want to give a good experience to everybody, but you're kind of overwhelmed at the same time too. Just to kind of
change is pain and change is inevitable. And that's stuff is always changing everything. I mean, I think that might be part of the punchline is things are always changing. So your expectations should always be changing.
Yeah.
And then cultivate some patience.
Yeah, I think the patience, I think it's twofold. It's patience and endurance, like we started talking about, right? It's having the patience to allow time to happen, right? But then also the endurance of your patience, right? Like it's almost like, yeah, you need both, but they're really connected too in a way, right? Like I can be patient for a while, but I don't have endurance of patience, right? Like when I ask my oldest to do the dishes and we're like clocking in 20 minutes now to unload a dishwasher, right? While she's listening to music and then stopping to tell your story and then stopping to, oh, I got to use the restroom and then stop in to get a drink of water. And it's like, just do the dishes, right? Like, but you know what I'm saying? The first couple interruptions you can be patient for. It's that endurance of continuing to have that
the
patience.
Perseverance needed.
Yeah. Hmm. I think that's what, I think that's what frustrates a lot of people is not having the endurance of patience. What do you think?
Yeah, I can get on board with that. Other thing I think we have a problem with and why this has gotten out of hand, if you will, and in these times.
In these days. Back in my days.
Back in my day. But I do think we have drastically, as a society, reduced our opportunities to be bored. And being bored is a skill you need to cultivate because you won't know what to do with it when it's thrust upon you.
Yeah.
And it's out of your control and you can't pacify yourself with any of the myriad of things we've developed as a culture to pacify ourselves in boredom.
Yeah.
I think that makes us, it causes a heightened propensity to be impatient.
Yeah.
So my challenge is take an opportunity to be bored. And likewise, that's a few of the things that, because I'm so strategic, back to a strength.
Strategery.
I will consume audiobooks, podcasts, sermons, scripture material, prep for classes, prep for sermons, prep for just reviewing resources for class materials, all that stuff, I'll do when I mow the yard. I'll just queue up stuff to listen to and just like run through stuff. Very strategic, but also not very patient.
Yeah.
You know, doing that multitasking thing. It's good, but also it's not.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit in the meeting today that we had. You weren't in the room. Yeah, we talk about you behind your back. No, I'm teasing.
We talked about this a little bit.
We talked about this a little bit where it was like, you know, you ever take your kids out to do something fun, and you like doing something fun or whatever. And so yesterday we went to a friend's house. And they have a pool, and they're like, hey, come over, watch the game. So we bring over snacks. They cook food. We got all this food. We got all these people. We got all these kids. They're playing. They're having a great time, you know. My allergies start going like bananas, right, from being outside for a couple hours. And I'm like, deuces, I got to go, right? So we go, and Parker is like, now what are we going to do, right? Okay. And they're like, we're going to go home and take showers. Then what are we going to do? We're going to get ready for bed. Then what are we going to do? Go to bed. Then what are we going to do? Go to sleep. Then what are we going to do? Go to school. Right. And I'm like going this whole thing. Like they can't, you know, can't just be happy with, hey, we had a great day. Now I'm going to be bored at home for a little bit. Right. Kids are the classic example of that. I think to your point, sometimes we are those kids.
Yes.
In our own life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Right. We are not allowing ourselves to just be bored for a little bit. We're always trying to seek what the next thing is instead of just, hey, I'm just going to go mow the lawn. It's what can I do? What can I do while I'm doing that? I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. Right. I think that's kind of what you're saying, not to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
So we're out of time.
We're out of time.
I think a great takeaway is that waiting on God and his purpose in our lives can be challenging, and that we should allow ourselves a little boredom to cultivate some more patience.
Yep, and I would say almost in a Christian meditation form, if you're struggling in those moments of patience, focus your thoughts ahead onto God and see if that can help ease some of the angst you're feeling with the lack of control.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right.
We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, have a good one.
Bye.